Arizona's news station. KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You're not going to have Diane Douglas to kick around anymore. As she, our state superintendent of public instruction, lost her primary bid. We still don't know who the superintendent of public instruction will be. We have to go through a general election in November. But Diane Douglas will see out her term. But she's, Pamela, not going quietly.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this falls into crazy AZ.
Really?
If ever.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. Geez. So, good old Diane Douglas has this board that's reviewing science standards. Okay. Nothing wrong there. You should be reviewing, you know, the curriculum for which our public education students are learning. No problem. But when you tap a guy who says dinosaurs were on Noah's Ark to be among the committee that is reviewing science standards, in particular evolution standards, yeah, I got a problem with that.
Ken made an interesting point.
What did Ken have to say?
Our buddy Ken, the beers are. He goes, I don't get it. If dinosaurs are on the ark, wouldn't they still be around today? And secondly, why didn't they eat everything else on the ark?
Well, I'm
assuming not the brontosauruses, because they were not carnivorous.
Great question for Joseph Ketzel.
Okay.
Joseph, well, he is a biology teacher at Arizona Christian University.
Okay.
He also is president of the Arizona Origin Science Association. Staunch believer in the idea that enough scientific evidence exists to back up the biblical story of creation. And so now, Diane Douglas, as well as this guy who sits on the board, they're trying to bring a little bit of Sunday school into your science class, and I got a problem with that.
Yeah.
I got a problem with that.
Well, this gets into kind of what are your children being taught at school, and conversely, what's being left out, right?
Well, yeah, okay. So do you know what your kids are being taught?
Okay.
Because I never would have thought that this would even be an issue as to, you know, what kids are taught as far as evolution is concerned. Last week, though, I had an interesting experience with my 9-year-old daughter, Riley. She's in the third grade.
Okay, third grade.
And picked her up from school on 9/11. And you and I had the discussion about what do kids know about 9/11.
How is it taught in schools? How do they commemorate that day? Do they even bring it up?
And I'm maybe a little too sensitive to the news cycle out there, and I try to protect her from a lot of that.
Okay.
And so I haven't really talked to her about it, but she's 9 now. All right. So now we're getting into that age appropriateness. And we were sitting in the car for about 15 minutes prior to me going to the gym. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I'm like, do you know what today is? And she's like, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I'm like, it's 9/11. And she goes, oh. I said, well, do you know what 9/11 is?
Ooh.
And she goes, ah, that's when two planes hit two buildings.
Okay. Not bad. I mean,
we have a point of reference.
We're at least in the ballpark.
Somebody has talked to you about this at some point.
Thank you.
But she didn't know anything beyond then. And she's a very, very curious child. So as I open up the box, man, she asks all kinds of questions. And I do my best job as a mom navigating age-appropriate answers.
Okay,
and I think that's the challenge for a lot of parents. I think there's a lot of parents that, you know, there are heavy topics that they want to discuss with their children, but maybe they lack the confidence of giving them age-appropriate answers.
Yeah.
And I know that I fall into that category and just hope for the best. I know I'm screwing her up. I just hope I don't screw her up too much. All right. But so we talked a lot about 9/11. And so now I feel she's a little bit more informed. But she didn't really learn much about it at school.
Hmm.
And I, at this age, I'm not quite faulting school for that quite yet. You know, when you get 6th, 7th, 8th grade, yeah, I think you should be diving into it a little bit more. 3rd grade, I'm glad that she at least was aware of it. But if your kid went to school in Texas.
Okay.
Well, they are they're revising their social studies classes there.
Okay.
And their curriculum.
Got it.
And, well, they're taking a look at removing Hillary Clinton, Barry Goldwater, and Helen Keller from social study classes. Yeah,
I see that headline and I get the kind of the outrage around it or the reaction. I guess here's the way I come to it is there's only so much you can teach in school. Somebody's going to make the decision about what do we teach and what we don't teach. So my concern just gets into what's the motivation? What is the argument behind it? Do you see what I'm saying? Because obviously you can't teach everything to everybody at all times. Okay, we're going to pick certain curricula. And that might mean certain things are in, certain things are out. My worry is when I hear about things like this, is the motivation behind it? Is it purely a partisan reason? Is it purely based on religion? What is your reason for either including or excluding things from teaching?
Yeah, you know what? In Texas, I recognize, and I'm in Arizona saying this, so please be kind.
I'm
but I get that, like, if folks in Arizona don't want to teach about Barry Goldwater, I know that he is an important, you know, historic figure when it comes to running for president and Senate
and
the
senator
conservative.
And the power that he had. Redefining a conservative
movement. I get all
movement.
Of that.
Yeah.
And I think that the kids in Arizona should most definitely learn about Barry Goldwater. But Texas, again, picking and choosing.
Right. They can learn about LBJ.
You know.
In Texas.
Hillary Clinton, though.
They should.
I don't care what side of the aisle you are on. She is the first
woman to run for president as under a major party.
I mean, right, exactly.
It is a historical fact. You can't deny
it. She's Secretary of State under, you know, President Obama. You know, somebody who went from being the first lady to the first major party nominee for President of the United States.
An important / historic figure in American political history.
And we talk about all of this, folks, because, I mean, I'm a parent. I'm a parent of a third grader who is sitting down every single night and helping out with homework. My gosh, there's so much of it. Like, I'm right there with you guys on this. And I'm, you know, learning about what she's learning right now because she's at an age where she still needs help with some stuff. When she gets to 7th, 8th, 9th grade, she's going to be talking to her dad about math.
Yes.
That's what she's going to need help with.
Mommy, I have math questions. Let me get Chris for
you. Yeah, exactly. That's not going to be me.
Allow me to introduce you to your father.
And you know what? And what I'll be helping out with, or, you know, if there's a study guide for a test, and, you know, I'll ask her questions and see if she gets it right. But I'm not going to be so involved in it as I am right now. And so I think it's important for people
to
know.
Is this the argument towards, and we heard this around, if Red for Ed didn't get you fired up about education, is this one of the arguments about school boards and being involved in and knowing who's running for your local school board and understanding, again, where this motivation comes from to either include or exclude certain teachings from your child's education? Would that be a solid argument?
Absolutely. It's a solid argument. And, you know, your school board is going to have much more influence over your day to day than whoever you put in as senator. I don't mean to be
like disparaging.
If you want to
teach about Noah Ark in Sunday school, knock yourself out.
Yeah. Hey, you know
what?
Zero problem with that whatsoever.
You want to say the dinosaurs were on the ark? Be my guest.
Absolutely.
That is not appropriate for public education happening in a story of history, of man's history on Earth. It's just not an appropriate discussion.
But yet, this is what we got when we elected Diane Douglas as state superintendent of public instruction.
What are we going to do if we have a normal person?
Relax.
And can I say this, by the way?
My shoulders will be...
I feel the need to say this, and because I
let it out, Bruce.
We tend to make fun of Diane Douglas and some of the things she does. She's a delightful woman to be around.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. I'm not disparaging her as a human being.
She's a nice lady when we sit here with her. I can have a conversation with her. I can disagree with her. I would tell you, I probably don't make fun of her to her face. I will acknowledge that. I make fun of the things she does away from it. But in person, she's a delightful lady.
You can be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
But just because you're a good person doesn't mean I want you running the public education system in the state of Arizona.
Fair enough.
Okay. There are a lot of great people out there that should not be making these kinds of decisions.
How weird is it that because I know and when we've had conversations with and we've met Diane Douglas and I again, she's delightful, polite, nice, smile on her face, that when she lost her primary, I was like, I kind of like Diane Douglas.
You also don't have children in the public education system.
I don't. And plus, I think she's a good source of material.
So that's so selfish of you.
She's a good source of material.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and she's the gift that keeps on giving.
I will give that to you.
Those decisions. All right. Well, you probably should be paying pretty close attention to what your kids are learning at school and what they're not learning. Again, the dinosaurs on Noah's Ark. Interesting conversation, to say the least. So now in Tempe, specifically around ASU, we're starting to see these e-scooters, electric scooters. You rent them by the minute. And people are already trying to get rid of them.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
I'm a fan of these things, and you may not be very aware of them. They're called e-scooters, electric scooters.
How fast do these suckers go?
They can go up to like 15 miles an hour.
Because I think of like Razor scooters.
Like think of a Razor with an electric motor on it.
Okay.
So it's just it's like a skateboard with a handle.
It's a Razor scooter. Okay.
It's a Razor scooter. Yeah. Okay. So that might help.
You push a button, it goes vroom vroom.
And it's got a computer on it. I'm assuming that's what they call it. And you use an app on your phone.
There's an app for that.
There's a little barcode on each one of these. You walk up to it with your phone, you scan it, beep, it unlocks.
And magic.
It is magic. I think it involves a cloud somewhere. And then you can jump on the scooter. It has a brake and it has a throttle. You know,
so do you have
like
to watch a video to tell you how to operate this thing?
No, you get on and you go. You kick start, off you go,
okay,
and you can go scooting
crash
along.
One of these.
There's
things.
Probably a good chance you might crash.
Yeah, no.
But they're showing up everywhere. They're all over. Los Angeles, if you've been anywhere around the beaches this summer.
You spend a lot of time over there.
Yeah, and I use them all the time.
You do?
I use them all the time.
I so
I
need to see a picture of you on a scooter.
Dude,
I need a video.
I haven't fallen off.
Yet.
My friend did. Oh, my God. T fell right off. She crashed into another one. Two people ran into each other.
This was a scooter collision? A head-on scooter collision?
It was kind of a side swipe collision.
She was T-boned?
Yes, because, and she won't like it when I say it, she wasn't watching. She went into the intersection without looking both ways and ran into another person.
Okay, were there hospital visits involved?
No hospitalization. Just some bruised egos. And
well, Scottsdale has put the brakes on these scooters, and Tempe is giving them a try.
Okay.
But you've got cities all over the place that are kind of concerned about these injuries. You're talking about like a T-boning of a scooter.
But I think it's redonkulous.
Why is it redonkulous?
Why are they so concerned about the injuries of an e-scooter?
Okay.
Are they similarly concerned about the injuries from bicycles?
Well, no. Oh, gosh, that my argument just got shot out of the water because I was going to say no, because I own my own bike and I'm riding around. So that's
but they
my
have
own...
the rental bicycles.
See, that's why I'm saying my argument just
and,
got
and by
shot
the way,
of
some of
water.
These are the same companies. One of the companies, if you're around ASU, you might the word Lime might mean something to you. These are these green and white bicycles you can rent. Well, Lime also has e-scooters as well. And it's the same concept.
See?
You only pay for what you use. And then you just stop. And when you ride it over to your dorm or you ride it over to the restaurant or you ride it wherever you're going to, you just get off, you put the kickstand down, you walk away.
So there are so many great things about this, but then there are other things that, now that I'm an adult, I can see some of the downsides.
Really?
So I put myself back at, ASU. So Pamela, circa 1998, okay? This would have been fabulous. Oh, my goodness. I didn't have
when
a car.
When you were going to ASU?
Yeah, I didn't have a car at ASU for 3 years.
And so you walked or biked?
I biked. Yeah, okay. I got a ticket riding a bike once. I was riding in the wrong direction. Oh, that's such a... I was riding in the wrong direction. I got pulled over on my Schwinn. And literally, I was running late for an Italian test. And...
You took Italian.
I took Italian.
There's so much wrong with this story.
And,
a, you're taking Italian.
And
B, you're riding your bicycle
bike.
The wrong direction.
And I remember saying to the officer, so you mean to tell me the Tempe Police Department has nothing better to do with
their
time
love it
than
when
to
you
pull me
that.
Over on my bike?
Yeah, they love it when you
they
tell
asked
them
to see my license, and I'm like, I didn't know I needed a license to ride a bike. Needless to say, I walked away with a ticket.
Yeah.
But had I had a scooter in Tempe, that would have been fantastic. Now, though, I think about this, and you know what else happens in Tempe because I know about this? Friday, Saturday nights, Saturday afternoons during Sun Devil game, there's a little bit of imbibing going on. There is some adult beverages that are consumed.
Okay, let me throw this out there. Okay, so hold on. From what I know about the scooter, e-scooter system in the Los Angeles area, think Santa Monica, Venice area where there's tons of them. They don't work after 9 p.m. They're locked down.
Oh.
So you can't write them because they don't have lights on them.
Okay. You see, great point.
So they've taken that into account. So you can't be 1:30 in the morning getting out of the bar like, this is the worst that can happen on this thing. Woo! No, it doesn't work like
Let's
that.
Let's have some races because that's
exactly what would happen.
Do. Yeah.
Here's the thing that I think is we look, this gets into my argument I made yesterday about light rail. I think e-scooters and electric bicycles and the sharing economy is the future of transportation, not trains. Do you see what I'm saying? I see this as the example of moving forward, and they're wildly popular. Again, anybody who spent time in San Diego or L.A. over the summer knows they saw them everywhere.
But you also know that cities deal with it differently. Scottsdale sent a cease and desist to the company Bird, who rolled out the scooters there, saying it violated the city's ordinance regulating motorized skateboards, whereas Tempe was taking a bit of a wait-and-see approach. This is where things are going.
It's headed that direction.
There are pros and cons to it. We want to hear what you think about it. 602-200-2733. It's our open mic line. Chime in. 602-200-2733.
If I want to ride an e-scooter or a bicycle around, it's none of the city of Scottsdale or Tempe's business. Why are you, what do you care?
I don't know. Is there any kind of liability? I don't know. Probably with the company more than anything else.
Any different from me riding my bicycle and running into the side of a bus?
Your bike.
Fair enough. Machines are taking over the world. Maybe it's going to be e-scooters, right? And it might be happening faster than you think. Get ready for Stuxnet coming up next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
The rise of the machines. Automation. Taking over. Can we acknowledge, because I think we have to start with a general premise that throughout the history of mankind, we've had,
this is Bob.
We've had, what do you want to call them? Eras. We went from, you know, agrarian to manufacturing, and we're certainly in kind of this technology / automation era in the world of the world economy. There are people out now, and these are the smarty pants, okay? The World Economic Forum believes that machines, computers, robots, whatever you want to call it, will be responsible for 52% of the division of labor by the year 2025.
Yeah, seven years from now. Let that sink in a bit.
More jobs will be done by machines, robots, and computers than will be done by humans.
Okay, now on the flip side of that, you've got the same economists and experts saying there will be new jobs created to manage these machines. Here's the thing.
We need robot repairmen.
Well, it's not just robot repairmen, but the jobs that are going to be created to manage the machines most likely aren't going to pay the same as the job the machine replaced. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So, for instance,
this is going to be a painful period for some people.
For instance, let's take a look at truck drivers. Okay, truck drivers have a blue collar job with a white collar pay in all reality.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, and I'm using some broad terms here. So if you are behind the wheel, you know, driving a rig right now,
Shout out.
For listening.
Come on, give me the horn.
Boop, boop.
Give me
yes,
the horn.
Yes, exactly.
Do it for me.
But I'm just
Work
going off of some stats in front of me right now from the American Trucking Association. And they say that most truck drivers make about $70,000 a year.
Okay.
Now, that's with overtime.
Sure,
and medical coverage.
They work hard for that money.
Okay. Yeah. So they make a really good wage when you're looking at factoring all of the other. That's not base pay. There's a lot of other things involved in there. But you've got the rise of self-driving cars. We know that self-driving trucks have been tested here in Arizona with these driverless vehicles, and it's threatening the livelihoods of about 3.5 million professional truck drivers. Will that industry create jobs? Yes, you are going to still need somebody to sit behind a computer and potentially dispatch the driver list.
Manufacture these vehicles?
Yeah, well, okay, manufacture and dispatch the trucks. But those jobs aren't going to pay you $70,000 a year. You see the gap?
Yeah, I see what I see where you're going with this. And I think this is one that, by the way, can I just point out that I think I'm going to be able to handle this better than you.
Me?
When the robots take over, and they eventually will, because I've seen the movies.
Oh, jeez. You know, my heart's starting to beat fast
because
already.
I'm friends with Alexa, I'm going to be okay. Alexa's going to spare me.
No.
Alexa,
no.
Play KTAR. Alexa's going to go, that Bruce has always been nice to us.
No. Nope.
And Alexa's going to say, he talks nicely to us. And Pamela's been super mean to Alexa. And you know what? You're on the list.
Well, you know what?
You're on the list.
Alexa's going to have to find me. Alexa doesn't know all of my deep, dark secrets. Alexa doesn't know.
I'm going to work for Alexa. And I'm going to get along just fine.
Alexa knows everything about you.
But this is one of those things. And I think you need to be creative on some level. And you need to be honest with yourself. The job that you're doing right now, the job that you're doing today, could it be done by a machine? Could it be done by a computer? Could it be done by a robot, for lack of better terms? And if so, you need to be preparing for the future because this is coming and it's coming quickly.
And you know who it's coming for? Who is the prime target of robots, which I'm really having a hard time saying because you kept saying robots. So it's like now
the
like
robots.
Canada, like those words are just getting stuck in my head. Women. Yes, us ladies. About 54% of the jobs technology is going to steal or disrupt by 2025 are held by us ladies. Now,
give me some examples.
Well, you know, they say nursing is one. Yes, that there are going to be robots that are going to be taking care of more and more of the healthcare needs.
Like I'm trying to picture the daily life of a nurse. And so I assume that some
secretary
of it is like monitoring things. But like, can a robot like take your blood pressure? Can it get your temperature? I suppose it could.
Bruce, have you ever gone to a drugstore and stuck your arm in that machine?
The answer is no, but I've seen them before.
Yeah. So the answer is yes.
Apparently that can
now,
happen.
Now, putting gender aside, even though you shouldn't.
No.
If you work in advertising, public relations.
Oh, boy.
Broadcasting.
Don't gulp.
Law, financial services. You should be worried because they say a lot of those jobs are going to be impacted by 2025.
So is it okay? So let's use our imagination.
Ooh, I like that.
Could a machine replace what we do?
You know, and as I was reading this, that's exactly where my mind went.
Because everybody thinks they're indispensable,
right?
I know that I'm not, but I also don't know if a machine could tell stories, emotionally connect with people. I don't know. Could they develop some sort of a artificial intelligence robot that could have conversations on the radio? I mean, because that's what we do.
So here's the thing. Okay, so
am I lacking imagination?
If we're using imagination,
that I can't be replaced.
You could. I mean, you could program, type in the news. Okay.
And just deliver
and have somebody with like, you know, a machine, not a machine's voice,
like Alexa,
but, you know, read it for you. I guess you could do that.
Alexa could read the news.
But if you're looking at like opinion and thought, which is what we're paid to give.
I don't know if a robot, I don't know if there's a machine yet that
I
can
would
do that.
Be, but put it
but,
this
and
way.
If they do have it, that's going to be pretty scary when you have
yes,
AI to that level,
the
right?
Thing. Yeah.
You're still worried about the robots taking
I am
over.
Totally worried about it. Have you seen the videos? You've seen the videos of the dogs
the
that open the door.
How about,
and
the,
run?
How about the robots
no,
that run?
No, that jump on boxes?
Yeah. They're coming to take you away.
No, it freaks me out.
I say this to people, and I don't say it to be mean. If you can picture a machine or a robot doing your job, if you can picture some form of technology of it, you need to be preparing for the future. Again, they're talking about 5 to 7 years from now, entirely new robots, entirely new machines, entirely new technology being able to do things. I say we make fun of. Most people understand the Starbucks, and you go in and you have a barista that makes it. I don't think it requires a lot of imagination to say, I'm pretty sure that they could come up with some sort of system that wouldn't require someone to stand behind the counter at Starbucks and hand me a coffee.
Yeah, but there are also going to be people who are going to need to create that machinery, create that idea, create those algorithms, create all. So there's still going to be jobs.
It's algorithms.
But
and
I get. Well, if you want good coffee.
Okay.
If you want crappy coffee, then no.
No algorithm.
All right. But I think what you're going to see initially are low-paying jobs, minimum wage jobs, a little bit above minimum wage jobs. If you're a server, which you can make great money waiting tables. You seriously can.
Mm-hmm.
But those types of jobs are going to be among the first to go.
Yeah, a little robot just come out bringing your soda pop and your dinner. It could happen.
The look on your face right now, I don't know why. It is cracking me up.
The robots are my friends. You have been antagonistic towards the robots.
I don't like the robots.
They are going to be nice to me.
And now I'm saying robots. Stop it.
We get along. You?
They're coming after me. That's why I don't like them.
We've got the post office and postal workers. It's that time of year when you may start sending things for Christmas or thinking about it. Well, just what kind of thievery is going on inside the post office? We'll talk about it next.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Are you guys aware where the custom of men opening doors for women came from? I don't know if you know this or not. It's because women were walking into glass doors all the time and breaking them, and guys were the ones that had to fix them and finally said, you know, maybe we should just open the doors for them. The reason I bring that up is Pamela just walked into a glass window. There's a mark on the window in the studio from your, I think it's your nose and your forehead, where Pamela did not realize there was glass, apparently. It was a really loud noise, Pamela. I was like, what the heck did you just
hear? Where were you going?
There was a noise, and she was trying to look out the window, but she ran her head into the window, into the glass. Thankfully, it did not break. Don't worry. We don't need to call engineering.
Did you hear that?
There's like construction going on downstairs.
And so I thought maybe it was going outside.
We heard the noise of you hitting the window.
Everybody heard that, right? That was her head.
We could hear that through the glass.
My head hurts.
Okay.
Now I got the giggle, so you go ahead and continue.
Okay. So, listen, speaking of another thing, Pamela, the holidays are upon us. Yes, it was 100 degrees plus today, but that still is apparently September, and when Costco and Sam's Club put up the decorations for Christmas, it is the holiday season. And, you know, for a lot of people, that means they send presents or things in the mail. It also means, as we find out, that there are some unscrupulous postal workers that see this as the time of year when you can steal stuff in the mail.
Yeah, you know what? We got to take you to Wisconsin for this story. A postal worker there was caught stealing out of all of the cards that you send to your loved ones, right? The cards that may have a check, a gift card.
Sending the moolah.
And even cash. Yeah, my grandma still sends cash in the
really?
Mail.
Those
yeah.
little cards. Remember the card and you open it up and there was like a $10 bill
in
it?
No, she'll send like a regular card.
She'll put money
in it.
Really? Give grandma my address while you're at it.
Grandma's sweet. But you know what? You'd think that grandma would know better because my uncle, her son, used to work at the post office and was floored at the amount that was being stolen. Now, please keep in mind, this was like some, you know, 35 years ago. So I'm not trying to indict, you know, postal workers all across the country nowadays.
Samla, but we are learning. I mean, this is one I don't understand. This one postal worker admitted to stealing more than 6,000 greeting cards, because you know when you send a greeting card, you like it's a red envelope and it's a different size, right? You buy them in the grocery store. It looks different than like a bill, so they know it's a greeting card. Stole 6,000 of them.
Do you know how they caught her? Oh, this is fascinating. This is like so like MacGyver-esque. So they took a greeting card,
okay,
and they put a $20 bill in it, and the bill had a little transmitter inside of it. And they mailed it off. And it came through, you know, the sorting system there. And during her shift, a USPS supervisor watched this woman sift through the mail trays and removed a bunch of greeting cards. And then Smith activated, this is the woman, her name is Ebony, this is the woman who stole all of these cards. She activated the transmitter when she opened the test card standing outside of her car. And postal agents then went after her, and they found the $20 with the test card and the transmitter.
Wow.
That's how they nabbed her.
I didn't know the Postal Service was doing things like
they
that.
They found some 30 greeting cards in her car. 23 cards and Starbucks gift cards were found in the USPS vehicle that she drove. She admitted to stealing cars and using the cash in them to pay for bills and take care of her four kids.
It's disappointing to say
oh
the
my
least,
gosh,
right?
No kidding.
And the idea that you still can, on this level, steal to that degree. I want to point out again. This is it. How do you pronounce the name of this place in Wisconsin?
Oh, my goodness.
You worked in Wisconsin.
I did.
Every city in Wisconsin
to me. I know, like Oconomowoc and Waukesha.
They all look like an I chart to me. Okay?
Yeah,
I'm like, I got one hand of like a W-A-U-W-A. Wawatsa?
Let's go with that.
Wawatasa? That can't be a big town. Apparently, nobody in that town got their greeting cards if she's stealing 6,000 of them, or everybody's sending three a day.
Get this. She had a car that was registered, but it was like in like a salvage yard, mm-hmm. right? She was using it as like a stuffing ground. They found 6,600 cards, 540 personal checks, and another 45 cards were unopened. What have we learned from this, folks?
Don't send money and greeting cards in the mail. Don't send valuables.
Don't send some of value.
I'm sorry. I don't want to say that because the guy who delivers my mail, he knows who I am. He knows, and I say hi to him, and he's very nice. And I don't think he would ever steal a greeting card from me.
Just want to make sure.
It's not an indictment of all postal carriers.
No, it's not, but I mean, come on.
I just don't understand how you can get away with 6,000 of them. That is redonk. We have police body cam footage of a Goodyear officer using force. Was it excessive? We'll talk about that next.